It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 28th day of September 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Irish Dave. And well, until pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan shows up, moderated by me, and not very well. Here's your chance, brain. Oh, yeah, hi, I'm Robin, and it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and I tell you what, it was a little bit gray and glum here today, and here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Manchinistan, we know that the cold weather's coming. I kind of realized that I probably will not feel the warm heat of the sun upon my hide until, for another 7 months or so, and it's a little bit of a downer. But I'm going to battle through it. That or a nettle pop in here and get me in the neck with a Thorazine dart. One or the other. I'll be fine either way. But nonetheless, with the cool in the air, little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men in the Cathedral of Common Sense, well, they felt it too. And this time of year, well, what they did is the little old blue-haired men went out and bought a six-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And little old blue-haired ladies went to the grocery store and got several packages of Polska kielbasa and simmered it long and long in that Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, added a little bit of flavoring along the way, some mustard seed, some caraway seed, and let the beer largely simmer away, and then added in. They actually cut up the kielbasa inside in the skillets, and they added a bunch of kraut, and they covered it, and they let it simmer and simmer. And that was prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship hall dinner. Oh yes, and there was some there were some green beans to go with it, and the little slivered ones, the French style green beans, and they sprinkled some, they cooked some bacon in there with it. And now, it was a good fellowship hall dinner, and had a little green leafy salad and some homemade ranch. And then for dessert, there was a couple of pans of big old brownies. No, not those kind of brownies. I had to check with the little old blue haired men. And yeah, they were going to try, but they couldn't get past me. And so after a lovely early autumn meal. Or it is that, early autumn. After a lovely early autumn meal, the deacons trundled their massive bulk up through the up the two flights of stairs to the street level, and went outside and took to smoking with the sinners out there.
Hey, buddy, you got a light?
And at a quick crackle of the horn, solar powered cattle prod from me. Well, they put wing to heel and got moving and trundled their massive bulk past me through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of buttermint, stopped for a quick shot of hand sanitizer. They said it tastes a little bit lemony, and they're kind of bobbing and weaving down here at the front of the sanctuary here, waiting for me to send them on their weekly mission to pass the plate amongst the congregation, the heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined plates, and has the PayPal and Patreon button, and the address for the Horn Post Office Box, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Amongst the congregation, as we prepare for this prayer meeting Wednesday, for it is prayer meeting Wednesday. As the days grow colder, these little prayer meeting get-togethers are ever so important. So with that in mind, let's bring the Minister of Music forward to get us started with our midweek worship service. Sibling Minister of Music, if you would please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Ladies Stop. And gentlemen, in the this name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Welcome, welcome one and all to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm calling on each of you. Each and every one of you, to get up on off of your seats and onto your feet and scrunch and scrunch and scrunch and waddle and wiggle and waggle and get on out from betwixt the pews. Careful about them pews. And come on and get out to the center aisle. Come on down that blood-red aisle, sinner, and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. How glory! And feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server. How amen on high. Bless His holy name. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Ultimate Imam, Naughty Nun, aggravated abbess, munificent mother superior, Robin Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And as the plates pass amongst the faithful there in the Cathedral of Common Sense, thanks go out to our 28th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you so much to Charlene and Rogues Island, and thank you to Suman. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much to Ralphs. Wait a minute. We done shot past the 28th. So that's thanks to Charlene and Suman and Sharon. And thanks for being partial sponsors of the program. Now, just to let you know, as the plates are passing back and forth, hither and yon through the congregation, the fundraising goal stands at a horrifying $2,225. There yet remains $175 of Canton, Ohio's kind and generous doubling challenge in memory of RGB, who passed away this month 2 years ago. Thank you. Thank you, Kat. And so there's $175 of that. And Ralphs has jumped in with the $25 challenge if other people will kick in $25. So that means that there's $200 worth of challenges on the table. That would get us $400 down the road if it is met. And would get us down to, goodness me, $18.25 as we finish off the month of September in as deep a hole as we've lately been, if ever. So if those challenges could be met, that would be fan-freaking-tastic. And thank you. Thank you, one and all. So let's see where we start with this here Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I guess if anybody needs it, probably Christians do. Via the Religion News Service, there's a new article out that came out of Wired magazine. The ungodly surveillance of anti-porn shameware apps. There are churches out there that are requiring their members to put tracking apps on their phones so that the preacher can see when it is that they're downloading and watching of the pornography. There are apps out there called Accountable to You and Covenant Eyes, and the evangelical preachers have taken to using their programs with their flock, and the parishioners. Well, they consent to let the preacher, who's probably doing it with one hand, look at their internet browsing and their app usage, and it even has a keystroke logger in it, so that, you know, when the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian Republican opens his phone and starts a typing shemale gang porn, then the preacher can know it and he can watch too. The original article at Wired was written by Dhruv Mehrotra, who's an investigative data journalist, and one person speaking to the author said, "I wouldn't call it spyware. It's more like shameware. And it's just another way the church controls you." In particular, there was focus on something called Grace Point Ministries. And Grace Point Ministries is, I guess, what would you call it? Chain churches? There's a chain of churches that have mostly Asian American congregations, they have franchises, I guess that franchise, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah, and 35 American college towns and internationally as well. And speaking to reporter Marotra, one young gay man said the pastor demanded he use accountability software that tracked his internet usage. And, of course, Grace Point said, well, I mean, we're not really doing... Yeah, you are. According to the article in Wired, Grace Point ministry leaders obsessively monitor their marks, I mean, the congregation, browsing history and web searches and keystrokes. And even the most innocuous of searches can get can bring the wrath of the minister down upon you. Of course, Grace Point is apparently kind of culty. And of all things, a covenant eye takes its name from the book of Job, apparently. I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Really? I'm guessing they're not. I mean, being as how they're good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican types, I'm guessing they're not looking for maid porn. Well, I mean, some of them might be, you know, sort of kinky, you know, French maid kind of. Never mind. It turns out that well over half of Christian pastors, regularly engage in sins of the eyes and body by looking up some internet porn. We know this, of course, because every now and then some of the major porn companies will put out surveys of just who's looking at their stuff. You know, ex-hamster and porn porcupine or whatever. And it shows that the people who are looking at porn are among, you know, they're in the most pious of states, like, you know, behind the Zion Curtain in Utah or down there in the buckle of the Bible Belt in Talabama. Yeah. So, well, another advantage to not being a Christian is not having some pervy preacher looking over your shoulder going, no, don't click away, don't click away, don't click away. Ah, yeah. Oh, the peace that passeth all understanding, right? Praise for them pearly gates. Meanwhile, a guy named that we've talked about from time to time on various Wednesdays, the aforenamed Dalton Clodfelter, still want to know the etymology of that word. He's one of those fascists that are trying to, you know, get some good old fashioned goose stepping going in the United States. He's a young one, and he hangs out frequently with Stu Peters, and they had a little broadcast get together over the past weekend. And apparently Dalton Clodfelter, he likes him some neo-Nazi. Really.
You know, the right wing is all about hierarchy, right? Right wing authoritarianism is all about hierarchy. And I view Anglin as being well above the hierarchy than myself. So even if I have a different opinion than Anglin, I know that what he's done and what he will continue to do will be extremely beneficial to the right wing overall. I mean, his platform, Daily Stormer, gets millions of views a month. You know? I am an active reader. I read it every fucking day. For my show on the Stu Peters Network, if you guys didn't know, that's where I get all of my sources. That's where I get all of my news. That's everything that they report on that day. I pick three things that they report on, and I talk about it on the show.
You know, again, there we are. When they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. So this this little neo-Nazi who broadcasts to God knows how many people actively culls his copy from a real live, no kidding, neo-Nazi website. I was wondering that myself. Ralph says, "What song is playing in the background of that video?" I got nothing, but then again, we've got. Speaking of which, there are issues though with the we got a music related issue. I saw this earlier today, and from the Department of You Can't Make This Shit Up. I mean, geez. Newton Leroy Gingrich had an online conniption earlier because apparently the Democratic Senate nominee in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, has a tattoo. I got a couple. And his tattoo reads, "I will make you hurt." Well, Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, just ask him, he'll tell you, took to wondering online if, he took note of something the Washington Free Beacon published, the brain trust over there. Because apparently the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Free Beagle, I don't know, said that John Fetterman, he's got a tattoo that says, "I'll make you hurt," and that's based on his ties to the Crips gang. Ah, come on, really? He's not a blood? Ugh. Newton Leroy Gangrene added, "Or is it a reference to the Nine Inch Nails song, heroin song, Hurt? Fetterman won't answer questions." I'm not surprised John Fetterman doesn't answer questions from brass-bound idiots like Newton Leroy Gangrene or the Washington Free Beagle. Of course, what this tells us is that neither of those two knows anything about, Americana music, Johnny Cash, because while Trent Reznor did write the song Hurt, Johnny Cash recorded it and made it huge. But never mind. The people who read the Washington Free Beagle are not going to be moved by anything like that. No, no. A Crips gang sign. Really? Oh, God. Oh, merciful God. And then there's something else. And this is apropos of nothing. But Ron Philipkowski posted a video today, and it looks like it's shot during the pouring rain that's associated with Hurricane Ian. And it's of a little fella on a battery-operated front-end loader. You know, one of those little tykes things. Well, the audio doesn't disclose much.
Oh, my God, Luke! It's so... Oh, my God! Oh, my God! No, you can do it! Let's go! Oh, my...
Okay, so that doesn't sound like... But it's a little fella, little toe-headed fella, driving his little Tykes front-end loader in the pouring rain of the outer bands of a hurricane. And the little guy, I mean, I saw that. John in Central Pennsylvania made me aware of this, and it breaks my heart. Little fella's got his little left hand down over his eye. He's obviously not happy to be out in the pouring rain. Looks like he's probably crying. And who the little fella is the just past toddler age son of Eric and Laura Trump. And Laura Trump posted the video and said that she had her little boy out in hurricane rain getting soaked to the bone as a character building exercise. And you'll note, again, apparently Laura Trump thinks it's just funny as hell.
Oh my God, Luke! It's so Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah, she's laughing at the misery of her own little boy. And it's a reminder that abuse has a way of perpetuating itself intergenerationally. Because, of course, Eric and Trader Tot Jr. Were both abused by Nitwit Nero. You may recall the story of Nitwit Nero slapping the spit out of his son's mouth when he didn't wear a coat and tie to a baseball game, but instead went with his Yankees or Mets jersey on.
Look like you're somebody.
But the thing that strikes me is that if anybody else posted a video like this, they'd probably get a visit from Child Protective Services. But in the Trump family, it's character building. How can you build character in a family that has none? I wonder if Mary Trump has seen this. I wonder if she might have any comments on it. Jeff Tiedrick pointing out down thread. Laura Trump, the sister-in-law of the cocaine addict who confiscated his daughter's Halloween candy to teach her about the evils of taxation. Hard to believe that individual one junior is now divorced. But not a question will be asked. Of course, not a question will be asked. Just another prayer meeting Wednesday. Sure. But we've got a hell of a lot of news to go into. Yeah, Ralphs has seen it. Yeah, oh my God, it looks like he's bawling his little eyes out. It does. And this is, you know, this all takes place as a Cat 4 hurricane is bearing down on Florida. Granted, they're over on the Palm Beach side of it. But I saw video of the rains in Fort Lauderdale today, and the palm trees were bending, and yeah. Nothing to sniff at. It has come ashore. Hurricane Ian has. And I got to thinking about something earlier today. See what you think about it. Here's what occurred to me. You know, at NASCAR races, you've got all the sponsors listed. And we've said that maybe politicians should wear little, you know, corporate donor patches on their jackets and stuff like the cars at NASCAR. Well, I took that a step further. When you look at the monstrosity of something like Hurricane Ian, maybe it would be helpful to a nation that's having a hell of a hard time comprehending climate change if when, you know, news outlets or, you know, the Weather Channel or what have you, when they put up the graphic that shows the radar with the rotation of the storm moving, you know what I mean? Maybe if, you know, one arm of the hurricane had Exxon Mobil on it and another one had Royal Dutch Shell and another one had British Petroleum, et cetera, et cetera, Aramco, for God's sakes. Maybe that would help people understand why these storms are so bad. And Tampa Bay apparently dodged a bullet. They're still gonna take a hell of a lot of rain. But the National Hurricane Center had to add another color to its gradation of storm surge. Because now they're talking about 12 to 18 feet of storm surge in certain parts, in the teeth of the hurricane. 12 to 18 feet. And here's the thing. No one alive down there. And that's saying something because Florida is, of course, God's waiting room. You got some pretty old people down in Florida. No one alive in Florida has ever seen or heard of the impacts of a 12 to 18 foot storm surge. Not one. And as far as Cat 4 hurricanes coming ashore in Florida, Charlie, Andrew, and then they, and back before we gave storms names, the great Labor Day hurricane of, what was it, 1929, that just about scrubbed the Florida Keys off the planet? And when I read that, I got to thinking all day long. How do you like my thinking song? I got to thinking, though. When that happened in 1929, well, let's put it this way. No one alive has ever seen or experienced or heard of a hurricane that was not impacted by climate change. You have to understand, scientists were identifying the effects of climate change in the late 19th century. Not that the folks at ExxonMobil or anywhere else want you to take any note of that, but it's true. Scientists were talking about it in the 1880s. And so even that hurricane that scrubbed the Keys was augmented to some degree or another by increased carbon dioxide. Because the industrialized nations, and some non-industrialized ones for that matter, had been burning coal for all they were worth since the mid-1800s. In fact, one English king in the 1500s actually had to ban the burning of coal in merry oldie London town because it had gotten so bad that you couldn't safely be outside. That's fact. And so, you know, the effects are cumulative. And the effects were well underway by the time that hurricane hit the Keys in 1929. We tend to think that climate change is something that's new and or new-ish, or maybe they were warning us about it in 1970. No, 1880, 1885, something like that. Don't hold me to the date, but it's the late 19th century. The first clean coal ads appear for Peabody Energy in a Chicago newspaper sometime around 1920. What did we know, and when did we know it? And maybe it's time to stop simply referring to hurricanes. Maybe it's time to put the every time climate change worsened hurricane. Because everyone that has ever struck has been impacted by climate change. And I've spent a lot of time today watching, because I think a lot of us do. We watch the monumental power of these natural forces with a certain degree of awe and trepidation. 2.5 million Floridians have been told to evacuate. And the question then becomes, to where? Well, in some cases, it means getting away from the low-lying Gulf coastline of Florida. But they've shut down the House of Mouse. Flights have been canceled in and out of Florida. Hundreds, maybe thousands. And I started asking years ago, do we have any idea what massive human migration looks like? And the answer is mostly no. We got a little taste of it with the ethnic cleansing of the New Orleans area with Katrina. There are people still trying to get find their way back to New Orleans from God knows where. Barbara Bush saying of people living on cots in the Astrodome back then that, people are having a nice time down here and we're just afraid they're not going to leave. Oh, Babs, you and your beautiful mind. But that then begins that, you know, that leads into a further question of the overpopulation of Florida. And there's no doubt that Florida is overpopulated and overpopulating each and every day. Oh, the number of the number of West Virginians alone. Is it, you know, because I'm tired of these damn hills. I'm tired of the inconvenience. I'm going to go to Florida where it's warm. And there I was at the beginning of the program saying, I'm not going to feel the warm sun on my skin for 7 months now. And so there's an allure. But when DeSoto, who was the first white European invader that we know of, to spend any significant amount of time in Florida, got there. He was apparently not, I mean, they named it Florida, you know, the land of flowers. Because they did, I guess because they didn't think land of alligators would play too well with the Spanish crown, whom they were trying to impress. But they found themselves in a land of prickly, painful things and sand that got everywhere. And if it didn't sting you, it bit you. And if it didn't bite you, it chomped you. And if it didn't sting you, bite you, or chomped you, it would wrap itself around your neck and strangle you to death and then swallow you. But we have worked assiduously for about for longer than this country has been a country, to tame that not fit to live in place, and to cram ever more people in it. And so here we are with a hurricane bearing down on it. And there are people who won't leave. People who think that they can ride out a hurricane. But more terrifyingly, because, you know, greatest country in the history of the world on earth, people who would like to leave, but cannot. Because of simple economics. Who knows? Maybe if we'd kept up the stimulus payments, they might have had enough money to figure out a way to get the hell out. Heard a story of one family that's going to take their little car and park up on the fifth floor of a parking deck and ride the hurricane out that way. You know, the family dog, all in just a little car and hoping they don't get blown out of the building. Meanwhile, I sit here in West Virginia, and that's one of the things that, well, I ponder ponderously. We are not a densely populated state. Mostly this state has been made safe for the hydrocarbon industry. And it is a beautiful place. The soil is thin but rich. It's hard to farm the steep mountainsides. But the water used to run clean and pure. There's a reason indigenous people used to fight each other over being able to hunt and trap and fish here when the weather was good during the warm weather months of the year. And of course, we've gone about the business of blowing this place all to hell so that we can do things like, you know, light up places that aren't supposed to have huge human populations. Which reminds me, of course, of that line that we've talked about for years on this program. Nature bats last! Because nature does. Nature has the final say here. We are not running this show. Not by a long shot. We might like to think we are, but nobody can turn off a hurricane. You just kind of have to ride it out. And then there's the news from offshore. Oh my God. Saw this a little bit before airtime. We're in a boat that sank off the Florida coast during Hurricane Ian. Three people were rescued just hours before Hurricane Ian landed in Florida. That, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Three of the people were finally rescued. Four people were able to swim to shore. Miami Chief Patrol Agent Walter Slosar said,
U.S. Border Patrol agents responded to a migrant landing in Stock Island, Florida. Four Cuban migrants swam to shore after their vessel sank due to inclement weather.
And three people were rescued south of Boca Chica, taken to the hospital for exhaustion and dehydration. The Coast Guard is apparently, to the extent possible, in the air, looking for the other 20 who remain missing. Slosar continued and said, I do not risk your life by attempting this journey at sea. Storm surge along with king tide can create treacherous sea conditions even after a storm passes. Well, at least they're Cubans. So the ones who got a dry foot onto land will get to stay here automatically. Wouldn't be the same for, like, you know, Haitians or Dominicans. Hell of a note. So we've got that to talk about if you want to chat later in the program. Let's see, what else? Because there's a lot of what else. We were talking yesterday about Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema, and I had the clip of Lawrence O'Donnell giving her down the road and doing a fine job of it. Well, he was not the only one, and I hope people continue to give her grief for this. They decided to talk about her on The View, and apparently Whoopi wasn't having nothing of it.
First thing we want to do is we want to say to everyone in the path of Hurricane Ian, please do what you need to do in order to stay safe.
Yeah.
It's slated to make landfall in Florida Wednesday, so listen to your local and state alerts because this is supposed to be a rather awful storm. So please, please, please do what you can to stay safe. The political divide is pretty wide these days, but apparently not for Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who spoke very highly of each other yesterday and how they've found common ground across the aisle. Take a look.
I've only known Kyrsten for 4 years, but she is, in my view, and I've told her this before, the most effective first-term senator I've seen in my time in the Senate. She is today what we have too few of in the Democratic Party, a genuine moderate.
Moscow Mitch been drinking.
And a deal-maker.
Despite our apparent differences, Senator McConnell and I have forged a friendship, one that is rooted in our commonalities, including our pragmatic approach to legislating, our respect for the Senate as an institution, our love for our home states, and a dogged determination on behalf of our constituents. While we may not agree on every issue, we do share the same values.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So is this the picture of bipartisan politics? Do we need more of this, or do both of their records kind of tell a different story than we're talking about right now?
You know, she's not popular in her own state. 55% of women find her unfavorable. Men don't like her. White voters don't like her. Hispanic voters don't like her. Voters 50 and over don't like her. Younger voters don't like her. The only person who seems to like her is Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell likes her because she works with him to obstruct the Democrats. Basically, that's how I see it. And, you know, she's not going to be popular with the Republicans either because she doesn't have a religion, so as far as I could tell. And she says that she's bisexual. Nah, they don't like that. So I think that she has a problem. She does not help the Democrats. We don't need her. We need a strong Democrat in Arizona like
Mark Kelly.
Mark Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I think our country is too divided. I think that the biggest issues of our time will never be solved on purely partisan bases.
This is the
and
new wing
I
nut.
I also think we've talked a lot at this table about how we're frustrated that the Supreme Court, some of you are frustrated that it is too partisan, too Republican. The Dobbs ruling is something we've talked about.
Right.
She is the biggest voice on the left saying lifelong judicial appointments need to be agreed to at a 60-vote threshold. She wants to keep the filibuster. We should not be nominating lifetime appointments on a purely partisan basis, mm-hmm. which is what Democrats want to do and is one of the biggest objections to Sinema. I also know, you know...
Oh, you idiot!
Sorry, that's my Vincent D'Onofrio impression from the first Men in Black movie. We should not be nominating judges and confirming judges on less than a 60-vote basis. Which, she says, is what Democrats want to do. Elisa, Farah, whatever your name is, honey, does the name Neil Gorsuch ring a bell? How about Brett Kavanaugh? He, who was buddies with the Squee and Spooge back in high school when they were boofing. And got his house paid for by somebody. And his baseball debts. These hot dogs. These beer. Or then there's the handmaid, who was confirmed along lines that, you know, she just decried. Well, you know, now she wants a 60 vote requirement. Now that they've got their ugly little their ugly little judicial putsch in place. Jesus. Oh, come on, ABC. Couldn't you do any damn better?
She voted with Biden with Biden's agenda 94.4% of the time. So this notion that she's practically a Republican, I think she tries to work across the aisle because she doesn't want to see the policies just undone when the Senate switches.
Can I just ask you a question? Do you think it's naive to think that if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate, that they will not, they will overthrow the filibuster if it doesn't work for them? She thinks that she's keeping right. The filibuster. Mitch McConnell has plans up his sleeve. Believe
me. He didn't, though. Trump pushed him to a bunch of times. He would tweet out, you need to nuke the filibuster, and he didn't. He did once for Gorsuch, which is how he got confirmed.
That's right.
But since then, didn't.
Big enchilada.
But he's, that was the turning point there. I mean, Mitch McConnell had no problem getting rid of the 60-person, scrapping the 60-vote threshold for the Supreme Court nominees when the Senate considered President Trump's nomination for Neil Gorsuch. He had no problem preventing Attorney General, who should be Supreme Court Justice Merrick Garland, from sitting on that court. Mm-hmm. He had no problem, basically blocking voter rights legislation, climate change, abortion, yet all of a sudden he's saying, it is a really good thing that Kristen Sinema, my buddy, she agrees with me about that 60 vote filibuster. We should not get rid of it. Come on.
Well, right. The thing I would say is we've talked at this table about how it was brave of Liz Cheney, and now the bar was low. It was to say the election was not stolen and January 6th was a problem. But I do think when people break with their party, we should see more of it. Where I disagree with Mitch McConnell is I think it happens more on the right than the left in what we've seen in the last how many
what
years,
happens more on the
that
right?
They fall in party line rather than people and constituents. Sure. What I do like, and I do think we're lacking, and again, Republicans need to take a note from Mitch McConnell himself, that we need to be working across the lines. And the gun bill, we have to remember that. The legislation that went, there hasn't been movement on guns in 30 years, was because she teamed up with the Republican from Texas. Mm-hmm. So even though I can't agree with a lot of what she does, I think everyone can cheer on when two people can say, you got to give a little. You got to give a little to get a little. And right now, D.C. has gotten way too
partisan. Oh, you sweet summer child.
At this point, we've lost all the people's, what they want from.
I think the gun bill is, I wouldn't say that it's because of Kristen Sinema.
Well, I mean, she presented it with the help of John.
I think Chris Coons from Connecticut was in large part, because of what happened in Connecticut, was in large part the person that brought.
Chris Murphy was a big.
Chris Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Coons is from Delaware.
Yeah, that's right.
So I really think that it's a bridge too far to say Sinema saved our gun
legislation. Well, she helped get John Cornyn on board. Yes.
She was instrumental in getting Cornyn on board. I just think we all agree our country is too divided. I don't think the extremes of either side are the answer. I think it's actually refreshing when somebody's willing to work across the aisle.
Kumbaya, my lord.
I think that when people are full of it, they're full of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what those two were talking about, because if this were true, we'd be working together, but we're not. And so both of that, that's all well and good, but we all know we're full of it until something you don't want to do comes up, then we're back to that. There's no discussion here. There's no real connection between Republicans and Democrats. There just isn't. And it doesn't make any sense to me, because it really is about us, and nobody seems to give a rat's behind about the fact that it's about us. But that's, you don't have to turn it that loud.
Yeah, I think Whoopi hates being bumped out. Yeah. But, you know, keep the pressure on her. And, God, hope that Ruben Gallego can win in November. Oh, and by the way, at the beginning of the program, I don't mention as much as I should anymore, but I should make. I mentioned our address, our mailing address, you know, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Back in the day, we established that mailbox at the UPS store on Eisenhower Drive, because it made it easier for boss man Wayne to just go and take care of the, yeah, right. But with the coming of COVID, I kind of took over all of that, so I run over when I can. But be that as it may, it is a mailbox at a UPS store, and it's not all that, and I've mentioned in the past that, oddly enough, another organization that has their box at the UPS store is the local chapter of the Klan. Huh? But that's not really the purpose of it. It's just by comparison. So, there's an outfit called Digital World Acquisition Corp, which I guess spells DWAC or DWAC, or it sounds kind of ooky. They're the company that's trying to take Trump Media and Technology Group public, as in as a stock offering. And in their regulatory filings, I just found this humorous, they recently changed their address. DWAC did. Because DWAC, among other things, as is always the case with any sort of Trump operation, is failing spectacularly and hemorrhaging money. In its regulatory filings of last week, they noted that they had financing losses of $138.5 million of the billion that they got to finance it from investors in the idea of Trump Media. According to CNBC, one of the former private investors told CNBC that it pulled financing from DWAC because of the many legal obstacles facing the company. The investor, who declined to be named due to the sensitive nature of the matter, in other words, they don't want anybody knowing they got conned, was also underwhelmed by the popularity of Trump Media's Truth Social app, as measured by Donald Trump's own follower counts. In other words, it's diving like a paralyzed falcon. He has 4.1 million followers on Truth Social, where he had 80 million followers on Twitter, most of which were, you know, bots. Yeah. And by the way, Truth Social can't even get its app listed on the Google Play Store. And Trump Media and DWAC are presently being investigated by the SEC as to whether they violated securities laws before the merger, with the way that the negotiations were handled. Oh, it's a Trump joint. Of course they did. Yeah. So they got them a UPS PMB. How about that? Yeah, I know. I caught that too, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut said, Chris Coons of Connecticut? Of Connecticut? I shuddered when she said that and thought that about her. Bite your tongue, bitch. But she did go ahead and correct herself and noted it was Chris Murphy. Oh, I love the way you think, Ralph. Ralph says, by chance, is that investor marginal trailer queen? Oh, God. I don't think she's got enough brains to do that, but she's gonna find that queen in that three-card Monty game any day now. Just gotta go double or nothing one more time. Oh, dear God, no. Matt in San Francisco has just informed me that there's breaking news on local stations in the Bay Area of a school shooting in Oakland. God, God, God. Outbreak of freedom? Yeah, I can't even hardly say, I can hardly say things like that. It's, wow. Please, I haven't seen anything on the breaking news front, Matt. Would you let us know if you see more, please? I'm checking now to see if there's... Matt tells us 6 patients have been taken to a local hospital. Things are really in the air. Oh, thank you, Steve. Steve from Georgistan letting me know. He is now in the chat room. Thank you, Steve. Steve said, I'm here. I was trying to order Maryland back fin crab meat. Holy crap, they want more for the shipping than they do the meat. Not so, well, I mean, it's got to get there quick, right? Oh, but that'd be so good. I had a question coming from Theo. Howdy, Reverend Robin. Is my soul at risk because I'd like to see if sacrificing Governor Ron death sentence to the tropical storm Ian? I'll take the karmic lumps and leave everyone else off the moral hook. But what could it hurt? Really? I think you'll be fine. That's just that you're just looking for a karmic correction. Ralph's with a little more detail on the shooting. CBS News reporting there was a shooting involving multiple gunmen. At least 6 injured at a high school campus in Oakland. Happened around 12:45 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, which would be about almost 3 hours ago. A little over 2 hours ago. The facilities are shared by Rudsdale Newcomer and Bay Area Technology School, BayTech, in the Oak Knoll Golf Links neighborhood of Oakland. The Sojourner Truth Independent Study online learning program is also based at the site. 3 patients were taken to Highland Hospital in Oakland and 2 others to Eden Medical Center in Castro Valley. Witnesses told police a car pulled up to the school campus and 3 gunmen got out and opened fire and then left. Among the 6 injured, at least 1 was reported with critical injuries. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms are responding to the shooting. Oh, Jesus, it gets worse. The Rudsdale Newcomer School is part of the Oakland Unified School District. And according to the website there, the students are recently arrived immigrants who have fled. I can hardly stand to read this. Who have fled their home countries because of violence and instability. Anybody want to take a guess about the gunman? Meanwhile, the Baytech Charter School serves 6th through 12th grade. Recently arrived immigrants who have fled their home countries because of violence and instability. Only to come to the United States of America, which is racked by violence and instability. Well, there's no point in speculating, but when a facility for kids who have recently arrived here gets attacked by people who, by three gunmen who pull up in a car and start shooting, wow. I mean, it's hard not to speculate, isn't it? It might be a case of stochastic terrorism. You know, when these maggot idiots keep on, we're not a country anymore because Joe Biden done opened up the southern border. Xenophobic hatred has a strong motivational impact. And rising fascism always has to have an other. An other. To blame for whatever problems the fascists think exist. You know, like white people being replaced by brown people. But it's hard to mention the idea of stochastic terrorism and not mention testicle-toasting Tucker Carlson. Because he's hard at work, you know. Also on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, years ago, Bill O'Reilly engaged in stochastic terrorism. Tiller the baby killer, Tiller the baby killer, Tiller the baby killer, until somebody heard him enough until they finally picked up a rifle and went and slaughtered Dr. Tiller in church. Well, Tucky is apparently working on his own hit list. And you know what it has to do with. Because of course you do. Last week, Tucky, in conjunction with a guy, a noxious guy who openly admits that he is a theocratic fascist, Matt Walsh, well, they doxed the Vanderbilt University Medical Center's board of directors. Tucky showed their names and photos on screen and read their names off one by one as he said, you have to do something to stop these crimes. There are, of course, no crimes involved. And oddly enough, at least at common law, you know, one of the old common law elements, and I don't know if you're listening, Billable or Steve in New York, an allegation that someone has engaged in criminal conduct is known as slander or libel per se. And what that means is you don't have to prove damages. And still, no one has sued Tucker Carlson because I guess they think that he's immune because he is a broadcaster. Certainly no journalist. But the thing is, only hours after Matt Walsh attacked the Vanderbilt University Medical Center's board of directors and Tucker Carlson then doxed them, people on 4chan and the Donald started calling for the murder of those members of the board of directors. The doctors that perform these surgeries should have their families slaughtered while they're forced to watch. Not that I condone that type of thing, but it would send a hell of a message. Kill all every one of these degenerates that dare harm children. I fucking hate these tranny vermin and their progressive supporters. 40 years ago, our parents and grandparents would have been rioting in the streets and stringing these doctors and their supporters up on trees and light poles. Or the pendulum is swinging, and a response, not the only thing that should be swinging, at the end of ropes. And then Alejandra Caraballo, my Spanish is horrible. A user on the Donald wants to do Nazi-style book burnings at Vanderbilt. In 1933, the first Nazi book burning started with Magnus Hirschfeld's Institute for Sexuality. A trans woman was murdered by the Nazis as they stormed the institute to pull books to burn. Surround the college and peacefully protest by burning all the medical books that have anything to do with gender. Book burnings. They send a very clear message, said someone called Thomas Jackson, which is probably not a real name. Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson was a vicious, racist general for the Confederacy. And someone, peppy-flavored noodles. Yeah, one that can, for once, actually be compared to Nazis. Everybody hates to hear it, but optics are a thing, and this is one of the bad ones. Optics Planet replied, has a lot to do with how brainwashed people are about Nazis in the first place. Same people that lie to you now are the same people that lied back then. Fuck optics. We do what's right, no matter what the media will say. The media can suck it. We will come for them eventually. They're telling us what they want. And they're beginning to act upon it. And, you know, they started with Boston Children's Hospital. Now they're on Vanderbilt. And, of course, none of these surgeries are being done on children. I'm trying to figure out how you do a mastectomy on an individual assigned female at birth before her breasts develop. I mean, puberty's a thing. And let's see. We also need to arrest every single doctor who's ever performed a sex change surgery, every member of the administration who allowed them to happen, every insurance executive who validated the charges for them, every activist, every one of them without fail who pushes transgender ideology on anybody, adult or child, and every single person who objects to anybody in those groups being arrested. Well, now. Kind of puts what happened to me last Thursday in a little bit of perspective, doesn't it? And the freaks got absolutely giddy when testicles hosting Tucker named the board members the goons. Well, he named the Jews! He's naming them! Jews. Is this beginning to ring a bell for anybody? Damn, didn't expect tonight to be a rage episode. Oy vey! Ah, he's naming the Jew. Tucker, no! And so now real death threats are going out. This is literally a genocidal campaign to erase people like me. And people who support people like me. People who think I have a right to exist. Because, of course, fascism cannot tolerate anything that deviates. Deviant, huh? That deviates from the norm. And I guess you just kind of have to hope for the best. But stochastic terrorism is on the march in this country. Meanwhile, they worry about the groomers and the perverts and the deviants. Well, let's see. Here's a guy who is not a trans person. Bet I know how he votes. The Dateline's Deltona, Florida. Florida man. Any story that begins with Florida man. A Florida man was arrested last Saturday. A dude by the name of Mark Greenberg, age 55, was arrested on a warrant for aggravated stalking. Deputies got the warrant after a report from a six-year-old girl's daddy who said that this monster, this sick bastard, walked into his driveway and started talking to his to the daddy's six-year-old little girl. The 55-year-old man said, "I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to turn you into a woman or a big girl." Close to a dozen witnesses, it took that long. Close to a dozen witnesses reported the guy's behavior, with regard to at least 11 incidents over the past 8 months. He had a predilection for yelling at his neighbors with a megaphone. And he also filmed their children playing outside. The little six-year-old girl is now afraid to go outside. Because trauma starts early for girls in this country. They think that this Greenberg sicko even followed the little girl to her grandma's house, where he parked outside and took pictures twice in 2 days. Get this, though, the cops tried to they tried to contact him, but he didn't want to make contact with them. So then they went and got a warrant. They were going to be nice about it. The guy is stalking and terrorizing little girls.
Will you come to the station and answer some questions?
No, I don't think I want to. Then they got the warrant. But you'll never hear about this on Testicle Toasting Tucker Carlson's show. Oh, hell no. Of course not. And while we're on that topic, yeah, we're not dealing with children necessarily, but the former Speaker of the Michigan House of Representatives is a guy named Lee Chatfield, a maggot from Levering, Michigan. Well, the Michigan State Police have been investigating him for about 9 months. At one point in time, Lee Chatfield was the youngest ever House Speaker. When he was elected back in 2018, he served until 2020. And an investigation was opened in December of 2021. A report was filed with the Lansing Police Department. And they eventually turned it over to the Michigan State Police, who, as noted, have completed their investigation and turned it over to Attorney General Dana Nessel. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, MAGA, Christian, Republican, Lee Chatfield. Well, his sister-in-law made the complaint to the Lansing PD. She said that he sexually assaulted her for more than 10 years, starting when... Wait, oh, I said it was. Yeah, it was. Starting when she was a child. But Lee Chatfield said it was a consensual affair. Lee, buddy, children can't consent by operation of law. The Michigan State Police made no recommendations on charges. Punting, as it were, to Attorney General Nessel. Along the way, they took a look at the fact that he apparently also directed campaign funds to family members and legislative staffers via hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer-funded bonuses given to Chatfield staffers and more financial improprieties. Last year, the allegations came down. Rebecca Chatfield, who is now 26, said that Lee Chatfield started sexually assaulting her when she was about 14 or 15, when she was a student at Burt Lake's Northern Michigan Christian Academy, because, of course, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And he kept on fucking her, kept on raping her, until about July of 2021. Because at the time, Lee Chatfield, who is, I'm sure, oh, he's such a clean-cut fella. Such a good Christian. Well, at Burt Lake's Northern Michigan Christian Academy, Lee Chatfield was a teacher and a coach and an athletic director. He's married and has 5 children. Rebecca Chatfield married Lee's brother, Aaron. And to his credit, Aaron is standing by her in the allegations. Curiously, when... Well, not curiously. He's apparently got a half-decent lawyer. When the Michigan State Police asked him to sit for an interview, his lawyer said, no. And then the lawyer responded to some questions for Lee Chatfield by email. Among the things they have seized so far via search warrant, preservation notices to Snapchat, several phone seizures, 3 school computers, warrants at Northern Michigan Christian Academy, yearbooks, student records. I'm trying to sort through this. Help me. Don't even know if I can frame the question. Are the maggots out there grunting and barking and hooting about groomers in, say, the LGBTQ community? Because they know that the real groomers are in their own camp and it's strictly a matter of deflection? Or is this just typical right-wing election year, sleazy, filthy right-wing politics? If the allegations are true, he started raping a 14 or 15-year-old girl. And she couldn't get free of it until July of last year. Because, of course, often when you're dealing with a groomer, which it appears this guy most assuredly was, there is tremendous psychological pressure brought to bear on the victim. Yet talk of love and how others won't understand. And then when the little girl grows up a little bit more and realizes that she has been brutally used, then the threats begin. This will ruin your life. But again, you'll never hear anything like this from Matt Walsh or Tucker Carlson or any of these other sick bastards. Because they're okay with it. Because it doesn't fit, it doesn't advance their narrative. Tucker the Toastmaster, Ron in Raleigh, says, did you see where Tucker suggested that 300,000 asylum seekers be sent to Martha's Vineyard, an island of 200 square miles with no access to the mainland? He suggests that they settle at Barack Obama's home. These people are beyond disgusting. These people want the Christian nationalists to run the country. Thank goodness our train system doesn't work so well. I know what you meant with that last sentence. Yeah, because, Barack Obama should not have a home on Martha's Vineyard. I mean, at the very most, Tucker Carlson would maybe tolerate a cold water walk-up flat in the south side of Chicago. And the thing is, there are never any consequences for the Tucker Carlsons. How many years of sexual assault and sexual abuse? How many different cases went on at Fox News before Roger Ailes, that sleazy old deviant pervert, finally got run? How long before Bill Falafel O'Reilly, "Oh, what if I was in the shower with you, I'd rub you down with a falafel and get you a glass of wine." Years and years and years and years. And in the case of Fox News, Megyn Kelly, one of the people who finally spoke out. Now, first she got a multi-million dollar contract with NBC, which she then got bought out for $30 million for doing no work at all, and then sashayed over to Sirius XM Radio, where she continues to spew racist hate. But for the true sick bastards, there are never, ever, ever any consequences. Oh, and speaking of, well, okay, maybe there were some consequences for this goon. The Republican Party is now kind of running away a little bit from Ohio House candidate J.R. Majewski. Now, he's the guy who said he served combat tours in Afghanistan, and it turns out he never left an airbase in Qatar. But as we'd say here in the hills, the truth ain't in him. He said he was punished by the Air Force for getting in a fight, you know, because getting in a fight, that's manly and macho. No. He was punished and demoted for driving drunk on a U.S. airbase in Japan in September 2001. He had previously said he served as a combat veteran deployed to special operations in Afghanistan, and the conditions were so harsh he was forced to go weeks at a time without showering when he was an aircraft loader in Qatar. And then when he got caught, "Well, it was classified." Yeah, maybe it was among the documents at Myrtle Ardass. And it'll come as no surprise to find out that this guy's also a cue ball. And he is on the ballot in November for a seat in Congress. And the Ohio Republican Party? Yeah, crickets. Jesus. Oh, and since we're dealing with creepy Republicans, check in with Corey Lewandowski. He's made a deal. "Oh, Emilio, that's just awful. Cut her? I will cut her a beach." You're not even getting a gunner for that one. Now, Corey Lewandowski has made a deal with prosecutors in Las Vegas. He was charged with misdemeanor battery last year because he made unwanted sexual advances toward a woman. Trishel Odom, married to an Idaho construction executive, who's also a GOP donor, John Odom, said Lewandowski repeatedly touched her legs and buttocks at a September 2021 charity dinner. But according to Politico, the charges that were filed last month, and they made a deal saying that if Corey Lewandowski would undergo 8 hours of impulse control counseling and serve 50 hours of community service and remain out of trouble for a year and pay a $1,000 fine, he wouldn't have to deal with the charges. And he wouldn't have to admit guilt. And it would entirely be dismissed. In addition to touching her inappropriately, he also talked about... What the... You know, even before I transitioned this... He talked to her about his junk and how awesome he was in the sack. And then and her husband wasn't sitting next to her at the time, so he flashed her his hotel room key. Why is it so damn difficult for men like him to simply behave with the most minimal standards of common decency? Maybe that's a question that it doesn't feel rhetorical. I'd really like to know what happens in the raising of little Republicans like Corey Lewandowski that gets them to that point. What happened in the upbringing of Lee Chatfield, who of course is a Christian, that winds up with him raping a 14-year-old girl well into her adulthood, all the while telling people about the saving grace of Christ Jesus? I don't know, except to say that, you know, those kinds of Christianity are morally bankrupt and ethically dead. And the churches should be dismantled brick by brick. Tax-exempt statuses eradicated. It's sick. God, it's sick. Speaking of sick, look, it's an Itwit Nero story. Back in, we gotta deal with the background on this. Maggie Haberman has a new book. And it's another one of those cases where you ask, why'd you save this for the book, Mags? Why'd you save this for your profit margin? Maggie Haberman interviewed Nitwit Nero. And, from her book, Bedminster, New Jersey, September 16th, 2021, He demurred when I asked if he had taken any documents of note upon departing the White House.
Nothing of great urgency, no.
Before mentioning the letters that Kim Jong-un had sent him, which he had showed off to so many Oval Office visitors that advisors were concerned he was being careless with sensitive material. You were able to take those with you, Haberman asked. He kept talking, seeming to have registered my surprise, and said,
No, I think that's in the archives. Most of it's in the archives, but the Kim Jong-un letters, we have incredible things.
And he didn't return the letters. He had them taken to Mar-a-Lardas. And at no point in the book does, with this obvious admission of a crime, does Maggie Haberman say, that she talked to the FBI. It was a confession of a crime. And she stayed mute because she knew it would be the kind of juicy nugget that would make the book fly off shelves. And so now we have another little nugget. Back in 2017, Nitwit Nero was at a meeting with Senator Schumer and Speaker Pelosi, other people as well, and they had staffers with them. And the staffers were a diverse group. In other words, not all white like Nitwit Nero liked. And at one point during the meeting, he mistook the staffers. Oh, my God. Soak, son of a Klansman, for the help. And he looked at the staffers and said,
"Why don't you get the food?"
Because, of course, they weren't white, so they couldn't possibly be. You get the idea. And then he used to brag, again, according to Maggie Haberman, saving the juicy nuggets to, make sure that when she decides to retire, she can retire in the state to which she has become accustomed. Nitwit Nero would tell visitors to the White House that
my workspace has a secret bathroom. And, you know, after I got here, I completely renovated it.
And Stafford's would say, "No, sir, we just replaced the toilet seats. That happens with every new president." And one visitor, at least according to Maggie Haberman, said,
"You understand what I'm talking about."
Because Nitwit Nero didn't want to use the same bathroom that a black man had. Son of a Klansman. Son of a Klansman. Son of a Klansman. How about that? Never stops with this guy. Hey, thank you to Texas Tea. Thank you so much. We were goose-egging all the way through the first hour and 50 minutes of the program. But Texas Tea made sure that wouldn't happen. And so we are now down to $150 to go on Canton, Ohio's Kind Challenge, the RGB Memorial Challenge. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Texas T. It would be great if we could get another $175 in, and that would finish Ralph's challenge and Kat's challenge and make things not quite as horrifying as they are looking already to be. This is going to prove to be the single most unfunded month of broadcasting in the almost two decades that this program's been on the air. So any help is desperately needed. Going back to Tucker Carlson and his stochastic terrorism, Jeremy in Vermont says, or what it really is the Nazi right is a real growing threat to any decent-minded person. We have an installment of this day in insurrection. Judge Amy Berman Jackson sentenced one of the terrorists, because January 6, 2021 was a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States, and it beats the living daylights out of me why the multimillionaire for-profit media doesn't say so. Oh, wait a minute, those were white people. But Kyle Young, has been found guilty and sentenced. Kyle Young was one of the ones who did his dead level best to make Capitol Police Officer Todd Ferrone be unalive. Speaking to Kyle Young before handing down sentence, Judge Jackson said, on January 6th, the violence was you. You were a one-man wrecking ball, and you attacked Officer Ferrone under the whirling banner of a Blue Lives Matter flag. He pleaded guilty to assault back in May, Kyle Young did. And Kyle Young grabbed his wrist and pulled his arm while Ferrone was dragged into the mob by other rioters. Other terrorists. Come on, CNN, be better, do better. Ferrone was reduced to begging for his life, telling that he had children at home. Kyle Young handed another terrorist the stun gun that he had handy, which was then used on Todd Ferrone. And Kyle Young had to tell the other, show the other terrorist how to turn on the stun gun. Amy Berman Jackson noting during sentencing, you had to teach him how to turn it on. You armed someone. And then Kyle Young, probably choked up, probably his poor little eyes full of tears.
I hope someday you'll forgive me. I know you hate me.
Dude brought his 16-year-old boy with him to the terrorist attack. Officer Ferrone, former Officer Ferrone, he's not with the force anymore, implored Judge Jackson to give him 10 years and talked about the beating he received. speaking to Judge Jackson, he said, I would have lost my life. The assault on me by Mr. Young cost me my career. CNN kind of buried the lead on this story. At the top of the story is the fact that Amy Berman Jackson gave Kyle Young 86 months in federal imprisonment. So that is... Seven years and 2 months. Emilio just said, I wish Kyle Young had gotten the 10 years instead of the seven. I don't disagree. But the buried lead, after he testified, former Officer Ferrone walked back to his seat in the courtroom, and somebody sitting in the audience said, you piece of shit! At which point, a deputy U.S. Marshal removed the guy from the courtroom. I guess that's free speech, too. So, y'all, they're going to do it again. January 6th was a rehearsal. And they feel so emboldened that they will go into a courtroom to upbraid the victim of a crime. Yeah. Subject line, you piece of shit. Steve in New York says, Blue Lives Matter, y'all. Right. Then there's Lucas Denny, who got 4 years and 4 months for his attack on Metropolitan D.C. police officers using a dangerous weapon. 4 years and 2 months. There was a plea deal. Judge Randolph Moss said the government was right in asking for an enhancement of the sentence because Lucas Denny used a dangerous weapon, a piece of long PVC pipe that he used to beat an officer who was using crowd control spray on the west side of the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, as the terrorists attacked. But this is one of those cases where they kind of blew it. Because Lucas Denny is the president of the Patriot Boys. And they're another of those godforsaken right-wing fascist militias, this one out of Dallas-Fort Worth. And he was initially charged in with a count of conspiracy as well. Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding alongside his sergeant-at-arms, Donald Hazard, also a Patriot Boy. They charged him, but the government blew the filing deadline to get an indictment for the conspiracy, among other charges. So then they turned around and issued a whoopsie with a single count indictment. You ever get the idea that this could be dealt with? Well, I go back to what I said in the early aftermath of the terrorist attack. There should have been a special prosecutor with a small army of U.S. attorneys and FBI agents, seconded to the special prosecutor for the purpose, the sole purpose, of prosecuting each and every participant in that terrorist attack of January 6, 2021, to the fullest extent of the law. with none of these pissant plea deals. The government presented evidence of how of Denny's state of mind. He said,
"For me, it was really only a matter of time before I dusted off my boots."
He signed it as president of DFWPB chapter.
"I've hunted the most evil men the world has ever seen, and they don't scare me. I loved it. The time is coming to choose a side, and there are three sides to choose from: the right side, the wrong side, and the side where you aren't doing shit but sitting on the sidelines watching DFW Proud Boys are now recruiting. We also have a few guys that are doing martial arts training, weapons training, and field training. We are very active in countering Antifa, BLM, and any other communist radical groups that decide to pop up. We also hold pro-America rallies, pro-Trump rallies, and back the blue rallies. We show the communists that patriots are here and not hiding. PM me any questions you have about membership."
Back the blue? It beat the blue in the back? And he had extensive ties with the Proud Boys. And he was conspiring for all he was worth. His co-conspirator Hazard on Christmas Day 2020 said,
"So the 6th is going to be bigger than the last rally. I can't tell you everything I know over media here, but it's going to be big. Millions and millions will be there, I can tell you that. We'll need linking up with Proud Boys, though. I've been in contact with a few different chapters, and they're helping us out with safe hotels to get."
Kind of like to know who the safe hotels were. Maybe that could have come out if he'd been prosecuted for the goddamn conspiracy. Y'all, say it with me. They're gonna do it again. Update to the school shooting in Oakland. 3 of the 6 shot are in critical condition. The condition of the other 3 remain unknown. And by the way, while I was in Atlanta, I got to watch a heartbreaking short video. It aired on PBS that night. I suspect you can find it searching at PBS even now. It's called Win. It is the story of a woman who was in prison in Georgia, pregnant, and had a spontaneous abortion. And as she went into early labor, Georgia prison officials, who were housing her in a facility that was formerly meant only for men, shackled her ankles to the table and made her give birth to her stillborn child as she lay in chains. The brief documentary is called Win because that inspired the woman to begin a campaign to stop the shackling of pregnant women in labor in prisons. And they've been immensely successful all over the South. It is not an easy documentary to watch. as I watched it in Atlanta in the meeting hall where we were gathered. Tears streamed down my face. I've told a few other people about it, and they've had a similar response. Well, now... Oh, and by the way, after she completed her spontaneous abortion, she was taken and stuffed in solitary confinement. Her stillborn child was wrapped up in the bloody bedsheets before her eyes and thrown in the trash. Well, now, according to an Associated Press story, Jasmine Valentine, who is an incarcerated woman and was dealing with addiction issues, went into labor in a jail in Pennsylvania. Her jailers, the nurses working for the jail's contract medical provider, an outfit called Pennsylvania Prime Care Medical, Inc. Well, they told her she was going through drug addiction withdrawal. And the screws laughed at her. Said she was trying to make excuses to get out of her jail cell. And that is when, Jesus Christ, she took the baby's amniotic sac and slid it under the jail cell door to show them that she wasn't malingering, she wasn't lying. Nearby, someone else who was also incarcerated heard Ms. Valentine screaming. She called Ms. Valentine's boyfriend. The boyfriend called the jail and begged them to help her. And finally, a jail deputy saw her holding her newborn. She had not been shackled. She was just left to give birth on a filthy jail floor, and the newborn developed a medication-resistant staph infection. MRSA. The company is in Pennsylvania. She was incarcerated in Washington County, Maryland. And she has sued the sheriff there, the sheriff's department, the nurses, the deputies, and Prime Medical Care, Inc. They'll probably settle. But the fact that they're making this woman file this suit in order to even get something approximating justice for herself and her child. And by the way, I misspoke. They merely said that she was in withdrawal. She was in labor. The lawsuit's been filed in federal court. The child survived. As she went into labor, she punched the walls of her solitary confinement cell. There were no blankets. There were no sheets. One of the deputies even went to the jail nurses and said, "We got a problem here." And they said, "Eh." And the little baby girl was born just after midnight on July the 4th, 2021. She was a first-time mama. She was scared to death because giving birth alone, she thought she might bleed to death and that her baby would die. Washington County, Maryland County spokesman Danielle Weaver had no comment. She was taken to jail on an alleged probation violation. I kind of wish that the case would go all the way to trial, and that the jury would ignore any inclinations of,
"Well, why the hell is she going to, was she in jail anyway? Maybe she hadn't done that and she wouldn't be in jail."
Jesus. Pro-life, y'all. But I'd kind of like to see it go to trial. And I'd like to see the jury foreman come in with a cramped wrist from writing the number one and a whole shit ton of zeros. Monsters. Going back to the women who are the subject of the documentary, Win, Jeremy says, "I guess the guards figured the pregnant woman forced to give stillbirth, if not shackled, would have gained super strength and spontaneously donned a pair of running shoes and taken off." Stephen, New York, noting, "If only her child had been a fetus." See, this is how we know that Republicans don't give a good goddamn about life. They care about controlling women's bodies and forcing them to give birth. They are, well, you know, monsters. Well, thank you, Billable Rick. Cowbell for you. Beat the blue in the back. I hope you will go and view that documentary. By the way, you know, this is a call-in program, and you are welcome to engage in conversation. I have been filibustering for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I'll do it for another 45. But this, we get the best information from the back and forth of conversation. So, of course, the stress line's open, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And Skype is available as well, Bob Kincaid Horn. And 304-574-8178 will get you into the program. And you're welcome to jump in. God knows there's plenty of stuff on the plenty of things to talk about. Yeah, Stephen New York says Republicans, they might care about life, you know, especially their own. They absolutely don't care about human beings. No, they don't. An update as to climate change fueled Hurricane Ian. New York Times says over 1.5 million Floridians have already lost power. And Governor Ron Monkey Up Death Sentence says that, in fact, the storm surge has reached 12 feet in some places. But, of course, you can't talk about climate change if you work for the government of the state of Florida. Scary Jerry, are you okay? Ralph says, come on, people, make me pay. And I know Kat in Ohio feels the same way. We got $175 to go, trying to have a fighting chance at ending the least funded month that this radio network has ever had. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. So, and then, by the way, the Nord Stream 2 thing. It was some, and you know, since we were talking about climate change and its impact on hurricanes and the like. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you so much. Texas T is not all by himself now this evening. Thank you. There's some damned interesting video of a great big blob, a boiling blob in the middle of the North Sea. There were actually two of them. One in the Danish economic zone of the North Sea and the other in the Swedish economic zone of the North Sea. As some sort of explosion took place that ruptured the Nord Stream 1, no, 2, pipeline. It's not up and running, but pressurized gas was in the pipeline, which then blew spectacularly to the surface of the ocean. And has in turn engendered wild speculation with the usual, oh, the Ukro-Nazis done it, or the Russians done it. And we know that Vlad Putin has said that he would use gas coming from Russia as a weapon against European nations dependent upon Russian gas. Among other things, President Biden has denied sabotage as a cause. Mother Russia has denied sabotage allegations of the Nord Stream pipeline. And, of course, this on the day after the bullshit elections in Kherson and Luhansk and Donetsk and Zaporizhia. With the annexation of those expected in short order. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky says that he's had a phone conversation with newly minted and bad luck Prime Minister Liz Truss. Trying to put his best face on it as he can, he said, the UK has always been among the leaders in supporting Ukraine. We expect London's leadership in reaction to Russian sham referenda as well. Defense and financial aid to Ukraine must be enhanced in response. And in fact, President Biden did approve $1.1 billion more in military aid to Ukraine as Russia boils in turmoil with people not wanting to go to Putin's filthy war. It is bad enough now in Mother Russia, that one-way economy flights from Moscow to Dubai are selling for as much as $5,000 and may actually be sold out. Back before the announcement of the partial mobilization, they were $350. Well, never let it be said that the Emirates don't know how to make a buck. One Russian national living in Dubai told CNBC, "Everyone is leaving, so many people I know." And if you look around on the internet, you can see the satellite photo of the gas bubbling up to the surface of the Baltic Sea from the leak in the Nord Stream pipeline. It is about 13 nautical miles from Bornholm Island, Denmark. And it should be noted that, as is the case with any pipeline, it's not a matter of if the pipeline leaks, it's a matter of when. Remember, association is not causation. And by the way, the U.S. Embassy in Mother Russia has said that any American citizens in the country need to get the hell out. Leave immediately if you possibly can. The statement from the embassy issued yesterday said, U.S. citizens should not travel to Russia, and those residing or traveling in Russia should depart Russia immediately while limited commercial travel options remain. The embassy going on to say, Russia may refuse to acknowledge dual nationals' U.S. citizenship, deny their access to U.S. consular assistance, prevent their departure from Russia, and conscript dual nationals for military service. Suddenly that decree from Putin saying that people could keep their original nationality and have Russian citizenship at the same time doesn't look like such a good deal, does it? Not hardly. The embassy continued and said, commercial flight options are extremely limited at present and are often unavailable on short notice. Overland routes by car and bus are still open. If you wish to depart Russia, you should make independent arrangements as soon as possible. Also telling American citizens, avoid all political or social protests and do not photograph security personnel at these events. Russian authorities have arrested U.S. citizens who have participated in demonstrations. You know, I wonder, and this is just, you know, again, because I think about things. I wonder how American cops think about Russian cops. You know, when Russian, when American cops deploy, say, in a place like Minneapolis against people peacefully protesting against the murder of, say, George Floyd, I wonder how that, I wonder how those cops feel about their Russian counterparts who do the same thing to people protesting or trying to protest peacefully against an autocratic dictator in the form of Vlad Putin. Do you suppose they think that they're better than those cops? Even though some of the American cops do some of the same shit that the Russian cops do? Just wondering. Now, I did misspeak earlier saying that Biden said it wasn't sabotage. No, no, no. Russia denied it was sabotage. But the EU is being a lot more straightforward. EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell said, all available information indicates those leaks are the result of a deliberate act. We will support any investigation aimed at getting full clarity on what happened and why, and will take further steps to increase our resilience in energy security. Any deliberate disruption of European energy infrastructure is utterly unacceptable and will be met with a robust and united response. Meanwhile, the simps for Putin are saying, yeah, of course we are not behind. We are not behind sabotaging the pipeline. No, why would we do that? These things are gloopy. In case you're wondering, the Russian word for stupid is gloopy. That's one of the few Russian words I know. A dear departed friend of mine who was a Russian language specialist taught me that. They're gloopy. You're stupid. Kremlin spokescreep Dmitry Peskov told a daily conference call that the incident needs to be investigated, and the timing for repair of damaged pipelines are not clear. And when somebody said, yeah, what about the fact that maybe y'all did it? Dmitry Peskov said, that's quite predictable and also predictably gloopy. This is big problem for us because, firstly, both lines of Nord Stream 2 are filled with gas. Entire system is ready to pump gas, and gas is very expensive. Now the gas is flying off into the air. And by the way, in case anybody's forgotten, that gas that's flying off into the air is exponentially more planet warming than CO2. Kind of like when the permafrost thaws in, you know, Siberia, and the crap that bubbles into the air there, the methane that's trapped in there. Yeah. Much worse than CO2. And then, of course, in the typical war of words that all too many people will fall for, Russian Foreign Ministry spokescreep Maria Zakharova went on Telegram and said, yeah, we see huge profits of the U.S. suppliers of liquefied natural gas who increase their supplies manyfold to European continent. They are very, very interested in further receiving their super, super profits. Okay, Maria. Hey, that's great. Thank you so much, Colin in Illinois. Thank you. And thank you to Billable Rick. We now have $25 to go to finish off the last of the challenges. And that would get us down to $18.25 for our the hole that we're in, you know, as of this evening. Thank you so much. Randy Radar says, the penalty for defying Russian cops is far greater. You know, at least if you're white here. True. And speaking of if you're white, let's check in North Carolina, Stan, shall we? I don't know where Columbus County, North Carolina is. It's a big state. But the sheriff of Columbus County, and remember, especially in southern states, quite often the single most powerful individual in any given county is not the circuit judge. It's not the prosecutor. It's not the county commission. It is the, what is still referred to in some places here in West Virginia, the high sheriff. And so, Jody Green is the high sheriff of Columbus County, North Carolina, Stan. And, there's a Columbus County Sheriff's Captain, Jason Soles. And Jason Soles got sick and tired of listening to Sheriff Jody Green run his filthy racist yap. And so Captain Soles recorded a phone call. And in a report from WECT-TV by Ann McAdams, she reported, on one end of the phone was Columbus County Sheriff Jody Green. On the other was then-Captain Jason Soles, who had just been tapped to lead the sheriff's office while elections officials investigated a complaint questioning whether Green was eligible to serve as sheriff. Green wanted to know who in the department had communicated with Lewis Hatcher, the former sheriff, whom Green had narrowly defeated in the election, and Melvin Campbell. There's always a Melvin, a recently fired sergeant, both of whom are African-American. So you got two black guys that someone has told about Jody Green being a racist prick. In Green's words, they had a snitch. We got a snitch. And in talking to Captain Soles, Sheriff Green, well, because it's North Carolina, said, well, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these black bastards. I'm going to clean house and be done with it, and we'll start from there. And apparently Jason Soles is fresh out of fucks to give, because when WECT contacted him, he said, this one particular phone call that I got, he made the comment that he hated Democrats. And then he said, I take that back. I hate black fucking Democrats. And I knew right then, I was like, wow, this is coming from the sheriff, and I had to start recording those conversations. Former Captain Soles is now running for sheriff as a Democrat against Sheriff Green. And as one account of all this noted, this comes on the heels of something that happened in April when the sheriff of Prairie County, Arkansas, hi, Haley, a dude by the name of Rick Rickman, decided that he didn't have much interest in a triple shooting because of who it was that got shot. And after he said that, he said, I can't be a racist because I only say, and that word occasionally. I love the presumption that these hoodless Klansmen have that just because they're talking to somebody else who's white, that they're free to use that word because, you know, well, I mean, I didn't say it. I just talking to other white folks. Wow. You know, racist Southern sheriff's gonna racist Southern sheriff, I guess. Seems to be the case. And while we're at it, I trust you know who Lizzo is. She's a musician, a brilliant musician, a magnificent flautist, among other things. Any opportunity to use the word flautist just makes me feel all fancy and shit. The White Wing is having a conniption. Because, of course, they are. I shared that list with you the other night of things that deeply virile, masculine Republican men get terribly, terribly upset about that my pal Allie posted. You might recall that the list at the time was apparently red-blooded American alpha males are afraid of, seriously bothered by, or negatively obsessed with cities, mermaids.
Oh, mermaid can't be black.
Masks, parts of speech, children's hospitals, elves, the uterus, graduate-level legal doctrines, cop-haters, but also the FBI, blue hair, trains, rainbows, vegetarian sausage, solar panels, I added dwarves, and now we add flutes. Lizzo went to the reading room and flute vault. Been to D.C. several times. I've even been in the Library of Congress a couple of times, and I never noticed the flute vault, but there is one. God bless America. And because she is a profoundly talented flautist, when she visited the reading room and flute vault at the Library of Congress's Great Hall, she got to play multiple flutes that are archived there. True enough. Well, I'll have to contact Allie and let her know. Randy Radar says, don't forget, they're also deeply bothered by and terrified of electric school buses. Point taken. But while she was there playing the various flutes, she got to play a 200-year-old crystal flute that was once owned by President James Madison, who also owned human beings. Never mind. But the wing nuts are up in arms, y'all. They're up in arms. And the Library of Congress let her bring the crystal flute on stage with her and play it for the audience while she said, "History's freaking cool." Yes, it is, Miss Lizzo. Yes, it is. The fighting keyboardists of the of Meal Team 6 were triggered all TF. with some dude named Greg Price saying, Library of Congress really took out a 200-year-old flute that belonged to James Madison just so Lizzo could twerk with it? Because, you know, talented black women can't help twerking anytime. I mean, they just always twerk. And then there was America Firster Andrew McCarthy. I don't think it's the one from the movies.
Everyone involved in the decision to allow Lizzo to twerk while playing James Madison's flute needs to be deported. I don't care if they're citizens. Deport them somewhere.
And then there's Nick Adams, who is definitely not the living embodiment of the character, the immortal literary character created by Ernest Hemingway, who and figured prominently in brilliant short stories like Big Two-Hearted River. Definitely not that Nick Adams, said,
the Biden administration is making a mockery of the country. She isn't talented enough to play music on a $20 Yamaha plastic recorder off of Amazon.
And then there was Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh has already made it onto the program earlier. Matt Walsh is currently engaged in a theocratic fascist jihad against people like me. And, well, Matt Walsh saw right through it. The liberals of the Library of Congress, they were just trying to get the white people worked up. Lizzo playing James Madison's flute was a form of racial retribution, according to the woke left. And I actually have no doubt that this is part of the reason why the Library of Congress facilitated this spectacle.
Really?
A woman playing a flute who happens to be black is a spectacle now.
There ain't nobody else what was black never played no flute. That's a white person's instrument.
God, they are such dainty little things. I don't know why they're ever let out of their basements. God, everything triggers them. The poor little delicate babes. I mean, just Jesus Christ, Matt Walsh, just holler the word and get it over with.
You're triggered.
I mean, I'd kind of like to, well, maybe, let me check. Be kind of cool if there was like a recording or something. Oh, there is. Yay us.
God, she's twerking.
And this was a gift to James Madison from a French crystal flute designer to celebrate his second term. There was a fire when he was away, and the only two things that were saved was a portrait of George Washington and this crystal flute right here. I am the first person to ever play it, so y'all are about to hear what it sounds like for the first time. It's crystal. It's like playing out of a wine glass. So be patient.
Yeah. That's not the crystal flute. But you know what? I think if I could play a flute and I played one of those little trills like that, I'd probably wiggle a little bit too. There's just something kind of wiggly about a flute. But you know what? I heard her playing there, and that's the damnedest $20 Yamaha plastic recorder from Amazon I ever heard. And see, that's the point. These shitbirds like Matt Walsh didn't actually hear it. All they had to know was that a black woman played a historic flute, and boom, they were gone, y'all. Gone. But what a beautiful way of making American history, which is supposed to be for all of us. I don't know. Was this CRT or something? But what a beautiful way to make American history available to, you know, Americans. I mean, I'm real white and damn near 60 years old, and I didn't know about the crystal flute. Now, I knew that Ben Franklin designed and built some sort of crystal thingamajig, brilliant, and he took it with him to La Belle France, and he thrilled folks at the salon there, who called him Dr. Franklin, and were simply amazed by his glass, and it was a tabletop thing. I mean, I don't remember. I didn't know shit. But how cool. I would never have known about this had they not let Lizzo play it. Never mind the fact that she's freaking awesome. Flugate, says Scott in San Diego. Those racist right-wing music critics wanted to say she... That word lipped President Madison's precious crystal flute. They didn't, but you know they were thinking it. Every last one of them. Emilio says, Library of Congress? More like the groomers of Congress. Wake up, sheeple! And this, going back to climate change. Darlene in Connecticut says, I've been wondering whether Ian will reshape Florida's western coastline. Biden sternly warned oil companies not to gouge us due to Ian. His administration is taking pains to make it clear all boots are on the ground to help Florida. This is not about politics, per Corinne Jean-Pierre. All politics have been set aside. Well, no, not all politics, all Biden administration. Yeah, meanwhile, at 5:30 earlier in the afternoon, Ron Monkey up the sentence said, well, I haven't heard a word from President Biden, and my phone remains open. He already had a 6:30 phone call scheduled with President Biden, but he told that lie anyway because the maggots will lap it up like a kitty laps up cream. Darlene continues, though, but it begs the question, at least in my mind, if it was President DeSantis and a blue state was similarly situated in a major state of emergency, how generous would he be? Would politics be set aside? Would us versus them be set aside? Would owning the libs be set aside? Sorry, I seriously doubt it. I know that to be a fact, Darlene. And if it was not Red Florida, Rand Paul and that thing on his head, you know, Rand Paul, the libertarian ophthalmologist, would be standing on a soapbox screaming his weed-compromised aqua Buddha lungs out about how, well, we can't afford to help New York or New Jersey unless we cut the budget somewhere else. He might be a little shaky ground, but he probably won't say that about Florida. Darlene continues and says that there is any question Democrats must retain the House and take the Senate just boggles my mind. They continue to go low, though, begging for just two more senators. Sorry, Michelle. And it was painful to watch Corinne Jean-Pierre try to explain Joe's Where's Jackie fuck-up. Only more painful is Joe's actual fuck-up. Joe, Representative Walorski, has been dead since early August. She isn't going to be in the audience. I get it. Trump was far worse, but what about ism isn't working for me here. That was a major slip-up from Joe. It's concerning. That was a big brain fart there. I'm looking for a friend. I understand. I saw that earlier, and I mean, did he say Walorski too? I didn't have time for the audio. Yeah, I'm just looking for any thin reed to grab it. But you know what? A 40-year-old could have made that mistake. It's not the same as Nitwit Nero looking at staffers who happen to be people of color and saying,
hey, y'all go ahead and serve the food.
Is it? So I guess I'm a little guilty of both siderism, darling. As to Florida, I don't know that Ian will do it, but we know that, well, just, I think you can probably find one if you look around. Look at what happens with 1 foot of sea level rise to the west coast of Florida. Yeah. Damn, I wish I was going down to the Gulf Coast for Trans Girl Beach weekend. Shit. Oh, thank you, Randy Radar. Ben Franklin invented a crystal-type piano of rotating vertical glass discs. And I forget what he called it. I think it was some sort of harmonica. It was a glass harmonica. That's what it was. It was a glass harmonica. And the number's now saying, thanks for the reminder, Randy. And by the way, it's up to 1.6 million Floridians out of power. Think about all the friends we've had down there over the years. Think of Scott. I think of Jason. Think of my pal B-Rez. You know, the thing that gets you about a hurricane, I mean, there's the obvious damaging force, but even if you're where, you know, you run from the water and you hide from the wind. But when one of those suckers is passing over, and it's a big one, you know, in talking about tornadoes, you know, it sounds like a freight train. And it kind of does. But it's there, and then it's pretty much gone. And the quiet after a tornado is positively eerie. Well, tornadoes are spawning all over Florida. That would be climate change-induced tornadoes from a climate change-induced hurricane. And with a hurricane, though, as it goes over, it is hours and hours and hours of shrieking winds, howling winds. If you've ever been in a, and like, you know, it happens here in the winter, we'll have a bad winter storm come through, and for a couple of hours, the wind will bark around the eaves of the house. I'm kind of dreading. Oh, no, I'm not kind of. I'm dreading that. But for hours and hours and hours and hours, it's terrifying. It's maddening. And it has a mental and emotional impact. It is. It's terrifying, and it can be in its own way traumatizing, even if you get out of it relatively unscathed. Because going days, weeks without electricity or ice, nice place to visit. By the way, Ron in Raleigh points out, you know, after the Lizzo story, She-Hulk, 2 weeks ago, Megan Thee Stallion made a cameo on She-Hulk, and she and She-Hulk twerked. White folks lost their collective shit, but of course they're not racist. Haven't gotten around to Quantum Leap yet. I want to. white people. Thank you. Let me check here. Sorry for the dead air. An anonymous friend just said, I've met the challenge. I haven't seen it come through, but that would mean that we are at 1825 as the program nears its end. Let me check in over in the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin.
Hey, Dave. How are you in the in the few final minutes of the program?
Well, in the few final minutes of the program, I wanted to let you know that I am going to test for a second time my PayPal account and send you $10 on behalf of Christine.
Oh.
I know when I tell her what's going on with you, she's going to inform me to send it. So I'm just going to cut to the chase. And I'll put a note in there that it's from her. But I wanted to let you know everything is going good.
Good.
What is this about a pretrial diversion for what's-his-fuck?
It sounds so much funnier when you say it than when I do. Corey Lewandowski?
Yes, that thing. He negotiates a pretrial diversion. I thought he'd already been charged with things previously.
Well, he was charged. He was charged.
Was he convicted and pardoned?
No. This is something that he did just last year. He groped a woman out in Las Vegas, and told her all about his penis, and went on to flash his room key at her and told her what a stud muffin he was.
Well, you know, in Indiana, that's grounds for being put on the registry.
Well, and it might be in Nevada too, but the prosecutors were kind enough to offer him pretrial diversion, as long as he paid $1,000 fine, and did 8 hours of impulse control counseling and 50 hours of community service.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure his victim had nothing to say about this, or was never consulted about it.
I don't know. Maybe there was a little pretrial diversion of a fungible sort. You know.
Well, there might have been a little
check written to, you know, avoid a suit.
Oh, yeah, because lawyers are good at not only bringing them, but avoiding them. Yeah.
Hear, hear.
But as long as the check clears, Robin, that means the United States proves once again that we have the finest legal system money can rent.
You ain't lying.
Because let's face it,
you ain't just Visslin Dixie.
There ain't a lawyer or a court in the land that stays bought.
True. I mean, it's all Daffy Duck, you know, from Duck Drake, Private Eye. You remember when he's carrying the case of empty beer bottles to the window. And he says, I had just finished an old case. Heaves it out the window. You hear glass break. I needed a new case.
Right.
You're always hustling for the next case.
He sounds like my grandfather, who used to measure work around the house by the number of cases and straws that he would have to consume in order to finish the job.
This looks like a pony kegger.
This looks like a two-case job to me, Dortha. Would be something he would say regularly to my grandmother.
Yeah, that was probably back when Stroh's wasn't all... I don't even know if Stroh's exists anymore, but it got really bad there at the end.
Yes, they do. I actually looked them up a few months ago. They're still brewed in Detroit.
Well, that explains why Stroh's was the favorite beer of one of my college buddies who was from Grosse Pointe Farms.
But, yeah, my grandfather was a devoted Stroh's man from way back.
My dad was fond of it. But and, you know what my dad liked best when we would go up to the Tennessee state line so he'd buy his, you know, two cases of beer to get him through the next 8 weeks or whatever? He liked Sterling Big Mouth. You remember those?
Never heard of it.
Oh, no. No. Oh, he loved him some Sterling Big Mouth. Because it was a squat brown bottle, and it had a pull-tab top, and the mouth was about the size around of a silver dollar.
Oh, so you didn't have to wrap your lips around the edge. You just had to tip it up.
Right, you could, and air would get in, and it wouldn't splash back at you.
Wonder your dad liked it.
But nonetheless, he poured his in a glass, and being the old sailor that he was, he had a proprietary salt shaker there by his easy chair, and he would sprinkle a little bit of salt into the beer.
Well, that definitely is something I've heard a lot of. Old sailors did.
There's three things.
Salt. One guy that would put salt in his coffee.
Okay, that's a bridge too far for me. But there were three things: there was salt in beer, salt on watermelons, and salt on apples.
Now the watermelon and apples I can get behind, but the salt on beer makes you go flat.
No, it doesn't. It's not going to sit around that long. And of course, you know, salt's included here, peanuts in a Coca-Cola.
Well, I don't see any problem with that.
All those peanuts salt the Coke, and then the peanuts sit at the bottom of the bottle of Coke and they soak up some of the Coca-Cola, and they just have the most delightful flavor when you get done with the Coke. And then you got to sit and take the damn peanuts out of the bottle.
Yeah. The thing is, Robin, I just wanted to let you know everything was going good. I will be at the end of this call, going to my PayPal account and, sending you $10.
And well, thank you, Dave. And thank you to Christine.
Because, girl, you're going through enough already. You know what I'm saying?
I believe it. Yeah, I do.
And don't worry. We've got you.
Thank you. It'll
work out eventually.
Yeah, it all works out. How do you know? I don't know. How does it work out? Don't know. It's a mystery.
But it will. You've got enough people out there looking out for you.
Thank you, Dave. You have yourself a great evening, and say hello to Christine, and thank you for us, okay?
I will. You be careful and take care of yourself, okay?
I'm gonna. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Dave, Dave and the Blind, calling from Taliban, Indiana. And I forgot to ask about how the boys down at the shop along with Gladys were doing, but I'm sure he would have told me if there'd been an issue. Thanks, everybody. So where do we find ourselves? Challenge met 18:15. So tomorrow we're at 21:15 with 2 days left in the broadcast month. Thank you. And thank you for meeting Kat's challenge. Thank you for meeting Ralph's challenge. And we'll cross our fingers. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our All volunteer staff, thank you. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Man, they gave you the runaround over that back fin crab meat, didn't they? Sorry about that. I know you were having your autumnal hankering for crab cakes. And there's nothing like getting it fresh from the Maryland shore. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. I had a text exchange with Ben earlier today. He was really crushed by the death of Will Rivers Pitt. Found out later he had a heart attack. Will did. Joy in Ann Arbor was equally devastated. Roughed me up a bit, too. I had a few interactions with Will, and I thought he was a fine, fine guy. And damn fine writer. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Schedule your booster. Get your flu shot. It's that time of the year, too. I'm going to try to get my booster before I go to Alabama. I think that might be wise. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Don't drink that shit. Don't be like the deacons. Wear your masks when you're among the great maggot unwashed and unvaccinated. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet like Paul from Parts Unknown exhorts us to do. And of course, if you see somebody coming down the street saying,
well, she can't play a flute, no, she couldn't even, she ought to get a $20 plastic Yamaha recorder, and she can't play that, and she twerks.
Now, avoid that theocratic, fascist, transphobic, homophobic, racist POS, Matt Walsh, like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.